Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Peter Ray, Justin Tyler, and Othello!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Bat of the Booth, Booth Bat!
Booth Bat!
And guys, it is a very special night tonight because it is the third anniversary of Comic Book Club.
Yeah!
We have been going for 3 years, which means we're due for a breakup.
Yeah, 3 years. What relationship has ever lasted that long?
None.
None that I know of.
Absolutely none.
And you know what that means for you guys? Candy! Free candy!
Yeah!
All of our money for 3 years and bought 2 bags of candy. So
please help yourself throughout the show.
Speaking of money, Pete, you had some sad news.
Yeah, I'm losing my job just before Christmas. What hurts the most is I won't be able to buy comics anymore.
Oh no!
Jeez.
Yeah. So you're going to stop doing the show?
Good. No, I can't stop doing the
show.
Maybe
you're going to stop doing the show unless there's a Christmas miracle.
Well, maybe there will be.
Oh.
Fail.
Oh, look at that. Hey.
You guys got me a car in the comic book.
Let me tell Pete.
It's a Christmas.
Hey. And Pete, because it's your special show, you can play with that truck all show long.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wanted to play with the truck.
What are you guys going to do?
I mean, we're going to host a show.
Oh, yeah. We're still going to do that?
PC? Yeah, I think so. And actually, the other thing that we're going to do is welcome our guests out.
Yeah.
We're so glad here. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Pak and Fred Van Lente. Coming back on the show. We're very excited to have you.
It's a pleasure.
And it's an honor because of your third anniversary. Congratulations.
Exactly.
Thank you.
We're old.
We didn't just ask anybody to come. That means, Greg, I owe you $10.
You're right. I don't, no offense, betting against you guys, but it's just, one of those things I had to go for, and I'm glad I lost.
Yeah. We're a gambler through and through.
Wow, that's... I can't believe people are actually gambling.
Yeah. You may not ever make it into the Comic Book Club Hall of Fame. You're going to be stuck like Pete Rose.
That's right, you're right.
A baseball reference? Really?
Right. It's time to change it.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't do sports.
I don't get it either. Pete Rose, I thought he was a hero.
Yeah, he was that guy that could shoot roses out of his hands.
Yeah. What a romantic.
I wonder why he never lasted.
Well, guys, you both are very busy. You're doing a lot of stuff. Let's start off talking about... Are you laughing at the fact that they're doing a lot of stuff or that my question was lame?
And Merry Christmas.
That's the greatest gift you could ever get.
Let's talk about Incredible Hercules first.
Yeah.
Yes!
So, you guys are in the midst, well, actually just kicking off, I guess, the assault on New Olympus storylines. So talk about that a little bit. What's going on with that?
New Olympus is being assaulted, I hear.
Yeah. Great, thanks for coming on the show.
We've talked about this before, we're kind of in the middle, we're kind of starting off the giant third act, if you want to put it that way, of a giant storyline that has been 3 years in the making.
So, 3 years?
3 years.
What? Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How appropriate we're here.
Yeah. 3 is the magic number, after all. So this is the, it's the first of several storylines in which everything is going to be revealed and all of the crazy threads that we've laid down are going to be tied up or broken. And a lot of characters are going to meet their final end, be that good or bad, and all of the giant emotional, thematic, and action-oriented, and Marvel Universe-shifting event things that are part of the book will come to a head. Buy it.
I'm not sure. I'm kind of excited because it was like you hit on some things, but...
It was just so general yet specific that I kind of got excited.
And there are explosions. Yeah. And a lot of people get hit in the face with a mace.
That's all I need.
That's all I need.
Sounds like
healthcare. Well, it should be.
We'll so if this is bring to head everything in the third act, do you have a plan beyond that at this point?
We were just talking about some things which may indeed happen thereafter. For now, we're focused on our end game on this big giant story arc.
But I mean, end game, it's going to take about a year to play out. So, okay. You know,
it's a long game.
Yeah.
Like Risk. So,
hopefully, you guys don't fight and then like throw pieces at each other and then like stun away.
Yeah. Well, they're not actually playing Risk.
You're following the analogy.
You said Risk. I played Risk tried before.
I know, I'm sorry. Okay. I know it's your weak spot. Your Achilles heel.
I was reading a little bit. Your guys were, or at least one of you were talking about, that you were excited that Amadeus Cho and Hercules are in Mighty Avengers.
His first name really is.
That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. Dan Slott was really, he called us up or emailed us at one point. He's like, hey, would you guys mind if I put these guys in there? And we're like, yes, please do. And yeah, he's eaten them alive. I mean, he's had a really fun time with them, and we're really excited that it's kind of fun, you know. Playing with these characters, and then particularly for me with Amadeus Cho, because this is a character, you know, we came up with how many years ago was that? 4 or 5 years ago, and you know, just kind of seeing that character. We Mark Paniccio was sort of my partner in crime there, Hulk editor extraordinaire at Marvel, and it's just, you know, we really kind of nurtured that character. Nate Cosby also played a big role in Amadeus's origin. But it's been a lot of fun kind of building him up through the Hulk, through Herc, and then, you know, he's an Avenger now, and, you know, it's kind of nifty.
This is something we were talking about after one of the shows a couple of weeks ago, how hard it is to take a new character and really establish them in a continuity-heavy universe like Marvel. Do you feel like, at this point, Amadeus Cho is established, or is there more that you need to do to really get him in the chink in the armor, so to speak? That's not the right expression.
Now even the truck is leaving.
Yeah. I've had enough.
Well, I think he's an Avenger now, which I think is kind of the definition of being established in the Marvel Universe.
It's gone.
Kind of like having
it's on fire. Well, actually, it's funny. When we were talking about it, I wish Amadeus Cho would come up because he is one of those characters that's new and is out there. We couldn't think of any that are like, oh, this character is going to be used by other people or has a potential becoming like, oh, that's like Spider-Man something.
Yeah. Well,
not
that would be awesome.
That would be cool. But,
I think it's the one of the things that I think made Amadeus. I mean, it's an easily a character. All of these characters could just kind of vanish if nobody wanted to do anything with them. So we've been fortunate in that, you know, some other folks have seen that there's something fun to do with this character. I think partly because he's different from, you know, he's a kid running around in an army jacket with a big brain, you know what I mean? He doesn't, he looks different from other characters in the Marvel Universe and fills a niche that is, that can be helpful.
Those equations look pretty.
Particularly when they float pink. Yes. But and I think that Amadeus and Hercules have also helped each other because Hercules obviously was never that popular a character. As much as we love him in the Marvel Universe, at least, until we sort of paired him with Amadeus, and that brains-brawn combo seems to be what is clicking for the book for most people. And it's been fun to sort of continue doing that and sort of explore their relationship. And their relationship is the through line of the book, and you'll keep seeing that as it moves forward into whatever its next incarnation might be. It's all on New Olympus.
I would say it's worked so well when the separation happened, it was painful. I was like, what?
I know. I tried to.
Yeah, I was like,
no! Oh, what?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, a sign of how successful it's been.
Thank you.
It's been fun. I mean, we definitely appreciate folks like you who have, you know, talked the book up. And all
just you.
Yeah, what about the old JT?
Let's talk about that.
Give
the
truck.
Some of the individual projects you guys have been doing. So, Fred, I just announced the other day you're doing Iron Man Legacy.
Yes.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about what that book's going to be.
And how that happened, how you ended up on that book.
Well, I think the idea that Marvel had was that folks who are enjoying the movies, it would be cool for them to go to a book that is more sort of clean slate in terms of having more self-contained arcs and sort of exploring more Tony Stark as a character and Iron Man as a character, as opposed to Iron Man's interaction with the major Marvel Universe, where you may not be as immersed in
right.
in the Marvel Universe stuff as you know maybe the average Marvel fan. And so what's fun is we get to go back and explore these different periods in Tony's history. And it's a lot of fun for me because I did, this is actually my second Iron Man ongoing, because I did Marvel Adventures Iron Man for over a year. And so it's fun to sort of return to those characters and actually have sex and violence and people shooting each other.
you couldn't do it
in the kids' book.
Sex is the number one thing you're doing?
Well, you know. If I can get it past the censors, yeah.
Nice. Now, is this...
Congratulations.
Thank you. You know, and then maybe for the 3-year anniversary, I could be like, see, I was right. My priorities were in the right place.
So is this going to take place in the current Marvel Universe, or is it going to be more like an Iron Man confidential type thing?
Yeah, it's going to be more... We're more going to hop around. I mean, the most... The first arc is set in the fairly recent past, just because there are a lot of references to things that are sort of more modern day, and I didn't want to put it so far in the past that people are just like, this doesn't quite... You know, I know how Marvel is a sliding timeline, and originally Iron Man was in Vietnam, now he's in Afghanistan, you know, and then 20 years from now he'll be in Canada or wherever.
Oh my god!
It's, you know, it's possible.
I'm trying to think
like a futurist.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Canada or possibly Guam.
Or an alliance, Guam.
Look out.
That's always threatened.
Yeah. Keep your eye on Guam.
Yeah, but were you watching C-SPAN the other day? They had that shot of Guam and that shot of Canada, and you're like, what's going
what's
on?
What's the deal?
Canada's going, psst, call me.
Well, yeah, on a lot of maps, they're the same.
Text me.
Great observation you made.
The signs are there.
Good. Let's talk about something similar that actually you just wrapped up on was War Machine, which was finished the 12th issue.
Yeah.
Which it was great. And
that's why I come to this show.
Not the trucks.
Yeah.
The love.
Yes. Aw, trucks cool.
Every show next year, trucks.
We gotta think of a bit for the trucks.
No, let's just let the truck.
The truck my blood. We don't come up with movement.
Yeah. So what are you working on, truck?
Freedom, probably, from this terrible remote. Oh, it's not working.
It's on fire.
What? Oh, right.
It's on strike.
What the that's what you get for buying Chinese
strikes. What?
What?
Oh. Racist.
Do you feel like, it definitely felt like the 12 issues were a very complete story. It's going to come right off of that couch.
I wish it would.
We need to move past the truck, people.
Do you feel like this was a complete story in those 12 issues? Was there more you wanted to say about Rhodey?
Well, there's always more that I could say. I mean, I love the character. I had a ton of fun on that book. But from the beginning, I planned those first 12 issues to be a story. You know what I mean? For that story to be able to finish up at that 12-issue mark. Just in case. So I was very happy with the way the book was able to wrap up. I mean, all of the... You know, I'm really hoping at some point we can get a big trade with just the whole thing together. It was very satisfying to be able to take those threads that we started off in that very first issue and wrap them all up, bring Ares back. Sorry if that's a spoiler, So basically, I was able to, you know, kind of tell the story I wanted to tell, which isn't always, you know, a wonderful thing.
Yeah. You know, they've said a couple of times that there's plans for Rhodey throughout the Marvel Universe. universe over the next couple of years. Is that something you're going to be involved in? Or?
I can't say. My lips are sealed, but there's big plans ahead for what's going on there.
Great. Nice. All right, good. We are going to talk about your Hulk stuff a little later in the show, both of you guys. But let's move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
It's not called the stack, but we like to call it the stack.
It's true, we do like that.
Yeah, it's
important distinction. Lies. Big reveals in the 3-year anniversary.
Guys, we're going to move on with the first issue we're going to talk about, which is Adventure Comics number 5. Hold your applause.
Till the end of the review.
Yes. Well, so, Superboy Prime is getting involved with Black Lanterns, Blackest Night happening throughout the DC universe. Zombies have come to our world, and Superboy Prime deals with it by attacking the DC offices and trying to kill Dan Dio.
Yeah!
What do you guys think about this issue? Just a little bit meta, right?
Yeah. They went so far as to draw everyone who works in the DC.
Not everyone. I was upset. I knew a couple people and they weren't in there. I was like, oh. How pissed would you be? You're like the two people not in that thing? I'd be upset.
That guy that gives you the comics wasn't in
there? Yeah. The guy gives us the free comics for the show, not in there.
Oh, you should write a letter complaining.
Yeah, I will, thanks.
Yeah, I would say actually my biggest problem is that Superboy Prime comes to the DC offices in our world, says, that's it, I'm sick and tired of you guys painting me as a jerk, making me into a villain, so I'm going to kill all of you. And then he doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Oh, that's sort of like threatening someone.
And then
human.
He joins.
Also.
But wouldn't that have made the issue a little bit better if Superboy Prime, like, popped Dan DiDio's head off?
Yeah.
Not in real life.
Yeah. No one's asking for that to happen in real life.
No one's asking for you to go out right now and kill
him. This issue is so weird. I don't get... Like, he goes to the DC office and, like, knocks over some desks. Which I guess
and some chairs,
which is sort of annoying.
Well, that's the worst thing.
Crippling them. Yeah. How can they?
That's why it was late. It was a late.
They'd be like, "I've got nowhere to put my comic."
Yeah. And now who's reading that?
It's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. And then Lex is just like, "Well, enough of this." Snaps his fingers, and they're back in his basement. So it's like, why? What's the deal? I didn't get this whole storyline.
It was a fun jaunt. That's the deal.
Yeah, it's jaunt? A fun jaunt.
It wasn't much.
It's a jaunt. I didn't read it. I'm just being a contrarian. Because I hear it's all the rage these days. In the U.S. Congress, anyway.
Yeah.
Oh! 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 Political.
Smack.
Yeah, I didn't like this very much.
I did like the backup story.
Yes.
Superboy by Jeff Johnson, Francis Monopole. Beautiful art, great story, really nice. I wanted to see that be the main story of the issue.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. Let's move on and talk about something that, Greg, you might be familiar with, which is Incredible Hulk number 605.
Yeah!
Here, I'll pass this to you guys, I guess. So talk a little bit about this. I guess let's start off with the main story first. Talk a little bit about the current Incredible Hulk storyline. What's going into it?
This issue wraps up our first story arc with the all-new, all-crazy Banner. Bruce Banner was depowered in issue number 600. He was stripped of the ability to turn into the Hulk. And you might think that might turn him into just a little sad little puny milksop. But no! It released him to be the inner badass he has always been. The basic storyline is that Banner is tapping into all of the big brain action that he has been capable of for years, but we haven't necessarily seen that much of. I mean, early on, one of the things I loved about a lot of those early Silver Age Hulk comics was Banner would go off and, like, you know, create a giant magno ray that would cause a giant fleet of invading spaceships to, like, you know, reverse track and disappear across the universe, or he'd go off and create the only suit of armor that's ever been created that the Incredible Hulk couldn't crack. You know, he was always creating these insane things, and of course, you know, giant weapons of mass destruction. There was a point when editor Mark Panichia, Pulp editor extraordinaire,
this guy's getting a lot of crap.
Yeah. he challenged.
Do you owe
me.
Him money?
Yeah.
He said, make Banner cooler, do something. You know, like he had this notion of like that Banner was running around like MacGyver Banner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just seemed like a lot of fun. And
you guys should go
sense.
For my Ninja Banner.
No, yeah. The Ninja Banner thing.
Another way.
I've been pitching this Milksop Banner.
Yeah.
He gets his ass kicked every
inch. Awesome. Top, top, milk, milk, milk.
So Banner, the reason Banner is has gotten all proactive and is out doing things is because he knows that someday the Hulk is going to come back. And his feeling is that when the Hulk comes back, the Hulk is going to be just as angry and insane as he was at the minute he checked out at the end of World War Hulk. And he also knows that with Scar, son of Hulk, running around on Earth, that the Hulk is going to, that basically the Hulk is going to, that he has to train up Scar to deal with his father. That's what he says. Whether or not that's genuinely what's going on remains to be seen. Banner is many he's working on many levels here.
Yeah.
But so it's become this kind of strange, you know, pairing between puny Banner and his big barbarian son. And they drive each other crazy.
Hilarities.
Well, there's a great line in here where Scar's like, man, I've always hated the Hulk, and then he turns to Banner and says, I'm really starting to hate you now. And he's like, it's great. I love the relationship that those two have in this book is one of my favorites in comics. Right,
yeah, now. It's very enjoyable. You would think we know Banner, but we don't. This is really cool the way we're getting to know a little bit of how he works, and how methodical, and also kind of a dick he can be.
It's kind of funny. I mean, I remember years ago I was kind of realizing that, like, characters are more interesting when they are on edge and doing things that they shouldn't be doing. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's the point we want to watch people. When
that's why I live my life the way I do.
That's why I'm watching people.
You are an asshole.
Yeah. Thank you, Pete. Carry on.
So there's, you know, like, drama is based on conflict, and you don't get conflict unless somebody is doing something they shouldn't be doing, generally. So there's an interesting way in which, I mean, of course, then you got to, you know, you're walking a fine line, keeping a character interesting while not making him off-putting. But I think, you know, like, it's been a lot of fun writing this.
One interesting thing that I think happened a couple of issues ago, correct me if I get this wrong at any point, but Banner was talking about how it wasn't the Hulk, him that was containing the Hulk, it was the Hulk that was containing him in a certain way. And that the Hulk has never killed anybody the entire time, and Banner killed his own father. Spoiler, I guess, for that issue. But the thing that I thought was most interesting about that was, again, that sort of what is a relatively simple guy. Like, it's not, you know, just even the Banner origin, not even talking about the Hulk origin, that writers keep finding different ways of sort of folding that in and twisting it around. Do you think there's infinite variations there? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think, that's... When I was writing Planet Hulk, it was basically all Hulk all the time. We had a couple of glimpses of Banner. And it was a great opportunity to kind of delve deep into the Hulk and tell a story that was really all about the Hulk and find out, you know, what it is that are the kind of things that's going to make him grow and learn as a person. You know what I mean? And now we're doing the flip thing with Banner, in a way. And it's I do feel like there's just a lot of great backstory that writers like Bill Mantlo and Peter David have created for this character. All the stuff about the father that was started with Mantlo and Peter David kind of took him to the next level. And we're going to go nuts with this thing as we go into this next big story arc, Fall of the Hulks. And there's, it's really, I've said this before and I'll say it again, it's the biggest emotional story that's ever been told for Bruce Banner. We got a lot of stuff going on. And I think it's because this character, yeah, like, as you said, there's just really a lot of interesting depth to this character. Part of what makes it work, though, is that it's still very simple. You know what I mean? That Banner and the Hulk, I think, are characters that... I think this character works and has worked in many different media for many, many years because the central metaphor is so simple. You know what I mean? It's about the price of anger, I think. And that lets you tell a huge number of stories, but it's able to kind of stay focused. You know what I mean? And I think it's also benefited a little bit by the fact that the central cast has been relatively compact. You know what I mean? And fairly, it hasn't gotten, you know, like you can pick up a story and not necessarily be completely confused with a thousand different characters. And
yeah, I mean, at this point, there's only green and red versions.
Yes.
Yeah. They're easy to tell apart.
So
blue armored one running around. That's my little
thing. Yeah, but it's, you know, I could not be happier working on this book. I think it's a total blast. And Ariel Olivetti just the perfect guy to draw these giant monsters in this particular issue, for example.
It's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, man. Right.
And we've got Paul Pelletier coming on board to do to start with 606,
and he did some pages in here. And I guess we should tease that Ariel is moving to another incredible
title. Oh,
yes.
Oh, one that I'm very excited about.
Oh man,
what a tease!
Incredible blob.
Yeah,
I love that blob. Yeah. You know what's great is he fights truck.
Finally,
you think Truck really couldn't put up a fight, but I've just noticed he's got like molded plastic, like boom boxes.
So what? We had to pay. The truck was $12. The sound system was $3,000.
We tricked that out. We should have put it on a bigger car. Because that one's already broken.
I mean, I can barely hear it. I'm sitting here.
Yeah. What's it playing
Let's
right
talk
now?
About your Savage
Sheepshot
backup. That's happening in there. Talk a little bit about Lyra and what's going on with it.
This wraps up sort of her second storyline, the first being her original miniseries where she faces Gamma Corps Black. And she's going to be something of a major player in Fall of the Hulks.
Yeah.
And that is leading into his.
Has thing been announced?
Were you talking to
audience?
Yes, the Savage She-Hulk.
What?
It was Truck.
Truck speaks!
Yeah. Well, you know, they got a two-way radio in the DJ thing. And Jeff Parker, who created Lyra, will be writing that, which is awesome.
Uh-huh.
And it'll have She-Hulk coming out of your ears in that one. It'll be awesome.
Yeah,
we got red.
I've always
we got original green. We've got new flavored green. It's delicious.
And I think there's a She-Hulk anniversary next year, right?
There is. It's the 30th anniversary of the creation of She-Hulk.
Oh, nice.
Stan Lee.
So is Savage She-Hulk. Is that say that three times?
Savage. Question for you in this backup. Well, there's a character that dies in the beginning,
right,
by the name of Alex Airday.
Yes.
He comes to the show a lot.
Yes, he does.
What's the deal?
He's a real person.
Is Alex Erda here?
No,
he's at college.
Sweet, so you hate him.
Yeah.
No, what happened was I had this idea for this Tamaguchi AI that was going to be Lyra's sort of helper and buddy and somebody to talk to. But I was struggling over what animal it should be. I was sort of in between Panda Cub and Tiger Cub, because I wanted to be really girly. And we were out drinking after the show, actually. And he said, it should be a unicorn. And I said, of course it should be a unicorn. I'm putting you in the book. Not, I swear to God, intending at that point to kill him off.
But it felt good when I did.
I'm just trying to show up that Dan Didio story, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's how you run a character.
Exactly. And then she punched Dan Didio in the face.
I think the truck also wants to go to
Truck, you're totally in. I'll talk to Jeff. Don't worry, we're like this.
And just keep in mind that we know animals too, if you ever need, like.
Like a turtle!
Cool,
you lost control
of your neck there for a little bit.
Need a haircut.
Let's move on. That's what we're going to talk about from Vertigo is Day Tripper number one. This is by Gabriel Ba and Fabio B. Now, I'm going to tell you very quickly about what this issue is about. It's an emotional story about an obituary writer who ends up finding out a little bit about life and, spoiler, ends up meeting his untimely end towards the end of the issue. It's done in one tale, but I think this is an ongoing series.
It is.
It's an ongoing series.
There will be more.
Yeah, there will be more titles. Now, that being said, Pete, you wanted to talk about this because you said it was, quote, hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's the thing.
Wait a second, let me read the first line. When the cancer that had spread throughout most of his brain. So,
that's the setup. That's the setup. The punchline.
Oh, I thought that was the punchline.
No, that's just the setup.
Hey, hold on. Truck's laughing. Yeah.
I just thought this book, when you first pick up a book, especially a first issue, you know, they do a really good job of setting up the character, you get behind the character, you root for the character, and then they kill the character off, and I was just amazed.
Hysterically.
I just said hilarious so we could get it in the stack because I never get to get books in the stack. Anyways.
Truck has 4 books in the stack.
But I just thought, a kind of amazing writing technique to get you to care about someone and then kill them off. And then it's like, well, how am I going to buy the second one? I'm afraid that the next one's going to be another character and they're going to die. And then, like, you know.
Actually, that character you're going to hate, but then that character lives.
Man, it's in your heart.
Daydream. Anyway, that's a great comic. Definitely pick it up. Let's move on. Talk about the DC Universe Holiday Special. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Now, Fred, you had a story in this.
I did.
How'd you hook that up?
How'd you hook that up?
I hadn't really done anything for DC before, and
how'd it feel?
And I met. It was cool. It was
did
fun.
It feel dirty? Did it feel like you're
no? It was. It was a good time. It was.
Joe
Quesada
was standing outside the DC office.
It was a good kind of dirty.
Good kind of
dirty. Encouraged me to do it. And it was fun to work with Martian Manhunter, a character I think that has untapped potential.
Yeah.
Old timey Martian Manhunter. Yes. Yeah. Old timey. Because I read the whole sort of showcase of Martian Manhunter from the 50s, and it definitely seemed like there were these little 6-page backup stories, usually I think in Detective Comics, where, you know, Martian Manhunter is a cop, and to solve any crime, they would just make up a new superpower for him. Like, so they'd be like, I'm invincible, all right, and then he'd be like, I can change forms, and then, you know, all these superpowers sort of started accumulating, which I think make him a really difficult superhero character to deal with, but a great mystery character.
Yeah.
And I think people get too hung up on the ooze. Weakness is flame.
Yep. Well, it's crazy also because they're like...
My big lighter will defeat you.
His weakness is fire, and then he cripples and falls on the ground and is very upset. But then they were like, actually, he's not. I mean, he's not, it's not weak toward it. He just psychologically is.
Exactly. It's like, exactly, he's mentally weak.
Yeah.
The true weakness is the brain. So I definitely decided the first thing I was going to do is no fire.
No fire.
Screw the fire.
But Oreo cookies.
Screw but them. Had to do their
delicious.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Or that was the one note. They said they aren't Oreos, they're Chacos.
Chacos.
Oh, Chacos.
Bullshit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I take it up with the Superboy Prime. So I'm right now.
I would definitely say pick this up. Other than your story, there's also a lot of fun stories in that.
Oh, so you're saying?
Yeah, but you don't like Fred's story.
No, I'm just saying.
Other than Fred's story, which is bad.
Yeah.
All these other stories are great.
Exactly. There's a great Flash story by.
I love
Andy
the Flash.
Flash
story.
One was true.
What other than his story? What is?
I love that. Don't drag me into your hole. Flashing was good.
Yes.
And I also liked the Sergeant Rock story. I thought it was really nice.
Sure, it was great.
I love the Beast Boy Doom Patrol story. It broke to my eyes.
It was cute.
Right. There's some stories in there where I'm like, what?
I thought the Batman story was ridiculous. The first one, where it's all these Santas. This one Santa robs a place, and then he runs into a room with all these Santas. And Batman's like, oh, how am I going to tell? And then one Santa, like, walks by and has snow on his shoes. And it's like, aha! And immediately, like, karate chops him in the throat. And I was like, whoa, there could have been more than one. I was
like, Santa was snow on his shoes.
What? It's got to be him.
What the what?
He's the world's greatest detective.
My favorite thing about that particular story, I read it, and we were talking about this earlier, that... It's a good story once you understand what's going on, but he runs into this warehouse full of Santas, and I was like, oh, okay, so there's this entire crime ring of Santas who are robbing places.
It's confusing,
And then what happens is one of the last panel is one of them is like, puts their hands on Batman's shoulder and hands him a cookie, and then he's eating cookies, and they're all happy, so I was like, okay, he goes in there to arrest all these Santas, and they're like, come on, calm down.
On the next page of the story, it turns out the cookie was laced with arsenic. Santa crime ring wins!
Yeah.
Anyway, dialogue's important. That's what
I'm
doing. Cool.
What a lesson.
Thank you. I'm glad we all learned that. Let's move on. I'm talking about Murderer, number one.
Yeah!
From Tom Cow's pilot season.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think about this?
I want to get a t-shirt like that.
Read what it says.
If you're reading this, it means you are a bad person and are about to die.
Yeah!
I want to get a t-shirt. Yes, that when you show people that t-shirt, is I'm going to arrest you.
What a fun day we'll have.
It's great though, you chose that shirt to wear on that day you ran into the
yeah.
when you had a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You
like, that would be hilarious. Yes. Instead, I'd take it off. It'd be, he didn't take off his t-shirt. He'd be like, oh my god, that's crazy.
I know. And then you rip out your skin and print it on your muscles.
And you can say, also, dialogue's important then, too.
There's so many uses for that incredible phrase.
It's true. This comic book is... Why do you buy these? What's the deal? This guy is it's basically the movie on
talk about
it's the movie Unbreakable, except that he kills people.
He kills Unbreakable.
I would have made it more
Unbreakable.
Hey, Unbreakable was pretty good.
Yeah, it was awesome. What are you talking about? Huh? It was a great movie.
Yeah, but it's a ripped off idea, and then it's like I don't know, it was annoying. I can't even think why.
It's okay.
Not Alex?
Yeah, I mean, it was silly.
Where are those strong opinions we love?
Cool. I just love how he, like, finds all these bad guys and then sizes up what tool he's going to use. Hammer? No. Yeah, I'm going for the saw.
I'm going with the awl.
Yeah. I'm going to awl you to death. Like, how bad you have to be like, I'm going to go for the spoon.
How well it does police work, because his whole thing is he goes in and murders this lady's husband who's been abusing her, and is then like, don't worry about it, it's fine, because my hair and DNA are all over the scene. You just tell them that you don't know me and you'll be fine. Which definitely seems like it's pretty foolproof, right?
When I commit a crime, that's all I do.
The bad guy said I didn't know him, and I believed him.
Yeah. Cool. Last but not least, let's talk about Invincible Iron Man. I don't know what number this is. 21!
21! Yeah!
Good news, everybody. Invincible Iron Man can finally drink.
Yeah.
It was 21.
I thought that was a shot.
He has a drinking problem. Alex. Jesus Christ.
Too soon.
He should
too soon.
One of us. Demon in the bottom.
Yeah. Nice. What'd you guys think about this issue? Pretty bad, right?
Whoa.
What?
There's those strong opinions. That was a shot.
This title is amazing.
It's a great title.
It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. Not going to be as great as when Fred Van Lente has his title, but...
Quit kissing his ass.
Okay.
Don't stop. yeah, this is great. This is going to be at the top of a lot of lists for the favorite comic of the year.
Check out our YouTube show. Cool, great. We're going to move on. That's it for the staff. We've only done this show for 3 years.
I have no idea what's going on.
Guys, it's time for our next section, which is my favorite section because you make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out Booth Man.
Booth Man!
Hey! And Booth Man lives in a booth, in case you didn't know.
There's mistletoe over the booth.
Not going over there.
I got a lot of questions for
Trump. For Trump.
Oh, that's
all right. Trump is ready and willing to answer.
What? Truck is hooking up with Fred.
I was protecting him for the mistletoe.
What's the best comics to read for the holidays?
Ooh.
I really liked Kidnap Santa Claus by Alex Robinson that just came out. It's an adaptation of an L. Frank Baum novel that Alex Robinson, who did Box Office Pieson and Tricked and Too Cool to Be Forgotten, did. Really adorable, it's very cute, it's fun, and it's teeny tiny, so it's a perfect stocking stuffer if you're not Jewish. Like you don't have stockings.
Yeah, socks?
Not really. Not for the fall, it's a Jewish thing, I don't know. Anyway, it's great.
Man, it's a weird
learning new things all the time.
No socks in the fall. That's the time when you need them the most.
We like to suffer.
You and your people.
This is getting weird.
Yeah. Well, I think the Christmas specials are designed to be read around the holidays.
Yeah.
Punisher Red Xmas is always fantastic every year. The Punisher Christmas story. Very touching stories every year. Thank you. Yeah.
What was there's X-Men Kitty Pryde series or the one with the Brood?
Yes, Christmas? Great Christmas story.
Yeah.
That's true.
She's Jewish too, by the way.
What?
She's Jewish too.
Yes, she is.
Around the holidays, this isn't seasonal, but that's a time when I tend to have a little bit more free time than I would otherwise, because they don't that way, because they're called holidays, which is awesome. But I think it's around those times that I tend to get involved in whatever giant epic piece of literature I happen to get my hands on. And so I kind of associate Nausicaa of the Valley of Wind with the holidays. That's one of my favorite
stories
of all time. Yeah, I mean, it's
a very small
Miyazaki. Yeah, exactly. One very small fan. It's Miyazaki who did the all these amazing movies, Spirited Away and Princess Mononoke. This is his big, giant manga.
Tiny fan, beloved. Yeah.
But it's this sci-fi epic. It's
wonderful.
That's the first anime I ever seen.
So that's my holiday recommendation. It's hard to find, but there you go.
Borrow your copy.
Fresh, yeah. Well, I'm actually giving out a lot of like comics themed gifts this year. So I'm getting like gift certificates in a comic book shop.
Nice.
Getting my dad a Lodge of Comics, which is the graphic novel about Bertrand Russell, and he did just go on the internet, so I can say this here, not spoiling anything for him. I guess I'm.
What is that? That's a big spot.
I'm enjoying comics by giving them the
pass. That's great.
Cool. Great. Yeah. Yeah. Raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's going to bring you some free comics. So let's get the next question.
All right.
Yeah, that was a really good question, by the way.
What supervillain needs to learn the true meaning of Christmas the most?
All of them.
All of them.
Well, I mean, because. Commercialism is what everyone's fighting against. Christmas, right? At least Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown.
I know he's the only one that knows. All those other asshole kids. Linus knows.
Probably Bizarro because he celebrates backwards Christmas.
True. That's a harsh lesson for him.
I'd say the Kingpin.
Yeah, he's good. Why, because he's fat?
Yeah!
I'm just curious.
Because he has no beard.
He could play Santa if he had a beard.
Yeah, exactly. And he would be much happier. The reason, because you were just talking about like the whole commercialization aspects. Mm-hmm. Like the Kingpin is the most radically capitalist of all Marvel's supervillains, I would imagine. He's the one who's in it for he's got his little power and money thing going on, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to conquer the world. Got a different agenda there.
I'm thinking too much about this,
That's good. Dr. Doom. He needs to learn something.
No. Also, Dr. Doom. Also, it would be hilarious to see him with Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Wrapped around.
Yeah, true. I get it. Yeah.
Now that's a whole new topic. Now I'm like, who else with Christmas red? Magneto. Christmas
lights. Who would
also
look?
Jewish?
Yeah.
So kind of. I mean, Jewish people can still have Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a British land or
show ID when buying them.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's a little mean.
To wrap it there. Why? That's what? Religiously mean?
Well, it's mean.
They're just lights. They're not imbued with Jesus' blood or something. They're just lights.
Free comics. Let's get the next and last question.
I don't think you guys know what too soon means.
nobody asked
soon.
That question.
Yeah, I think you're thinking of saying shut up.
Yeah, who asked that last question? Raise your hand.
Oh, it's a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Or why?
Yeah. You get free comics.
Really? Nobody?
You get free comics.
All right.
Okay. Don't be.
All right.
Yeah. Don't be afraid. I mean, you offended Alex's religion.
All right.
It's or just Alice's religion.
I'm gonna get a minion together and kick your ass.
I got my coven to fight back.
Right, oh, fair enough.
Damn me.
What fun we'll have.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Who is handsomer, Greg or Gred?
Ooh.
Well, you know,
have him kiss and we'll figure it out.
Gred has,
I like the, who said that.
That's Gred has the beauty mark, but Freg what? Has that devil may care attitude. Yeah,
yeah. And we're letting you guess who has the third nipple.
Strong.
Too soon.
Talking about, but raise your hand if you ask that. Pete's gonna bring you free comics, and that's it for audience questions.
Yay!
All right, guys, it's time for our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Intense person. That was pretty intense. First thing we're gonna talk about, big news out of DC this week. Total shocker. They're having an event next year called The Return of Bruce Wayne.
I guess.
What?
No.
Bruce Wayne is coming back to the DC Universe.
As a pirate?
Well, yeah.
That's so awesome!
All right, but here's the crazy part. Here's the crazy part. It's by Grant Morrison. It's a 6-issue series called The Return of Bruce Wayne that has Bruce Wayne traveling through time as caveman Batman, pirate Batman, private investigator Batman, and cowboy Batman.
Yes!
So, and Viking Batman.
Yes!
I was going to say.
So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like the detective one is kind of a cop out. I feel like that is.
Yeah, he's already a detective.
This kind of reminds me of the whole thing where, like, you know, if somebody ever comes back, you know, like, remembers past life, they were, you know, a queen or whatever. You know, it's like 99% of the people on the planet, you know, at that time, you know, at different stages in the past were like, you know, like, peasants or
farmers. So you're saying you want to see Surf Batman?
Yeah!
I have to say Batman.
Land Surf Batman.
So dusty.
Think of the things he'd help build. So many fence posts he would drive in there.
My teeth hurt.
Yeah. That's a great series there. There's all splash pages of him saying, like, oh, my fingernails.
Pulling the earth.
I hate gruel.
Yeah.
Or rocks.
Yeah, this is great ideas, guys.
I think this is crazy. How is he time traveling?
I don't know. I mean, it's Grant Morrison, so he'll figure out some ridiculous way. The other slightly ridiculous thing that somebody picked up on, other than Vampire Batman, every single one of these was an Elseworlds title that Batman had. I don't know if you guys remember Elseworlds from back in the day.
I do.
They were essentially the What Ifs. So this is Grant Morrison's way of bringing the Elseworlds into the continuity of the DC Universe, which is the other really cool thing about this.
That's actually, that sounds like 10 tons of fun, frankly.
Yeah, I think so. My first reaction was like, I mean, oh, come on, this is stupid. And then I was like, well, I kind of want to see Pirate Batman.
I love the Elseworlds of the Pirate Batman.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be cool. I think, I mean, everyone may be angry about bringing him back so quickly. But,
yeah.
That might be a pirate. That might be a pirate who's happy about it.
Or somebody. Are you saying that it's...
Wow! Are we too proud?
And
they're last. I can't
believe. The little thing that was announced from Marvel this morning was Girl Comics. Starting in March, I believe it's a 3 or 4 issue miniseries.
3 issue miniseries starting in March. It'll be 40 pages long. Of comics created by female creators only.
Wow!
Audience is so knowledgeable. Spoken by a girl. I don't know if you noticed that.
I love it, excuse you.
Keep patting yourself on the back.
Yeah.
Identifying a girl. Yeah, I think this is pretty cool. I think this is an exciting project. What do you guys think?
Just one little disclaimer. This comic, while being created by solely female creators, all the way down to lettering, proofreading, and production, is not just comics featuring girls.
Oh, what?
Now I hear it. Don't punch the other guy.
What a problem.
Be free.
Come back, Alex.
It was bound to happen.
Okay.
He's genuinely mad at you dropping those comics in. You let people see that this table's actually white, which is a big spoiler.
Oh, Jesus. All right, keep talking.
That was the big real reveal for the fourth.
Yeah. Happy anniversary.
I think it's a great project. I think it's really cool, and it's about time.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's move on. Last thing we were talking about at Week Geek is Best of 2009.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is. Right?
Weird.
What the fuck is that?
Search for 2009. First thing that comes up.
With
the U.S. Military Academy. Yeah. So, what's your favorite stuff?
How often do they use those swords?
Only to stab that eagle down.
Yeah. What about the eagle swords? They sort of include like peaceful leaves, just way in the back, just like very far behind the planet, where peace is far away.
No, I think those are oak, which is the angriest of the trees.
Never cross an oak tree.
That's what my father always said, and then he did. What was your favorite stuff?
Sorry about your father dying.
Yeah. It's all right.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. Pete, what was your favorite thing for the past year? One of your favorite things for the past year.
Oh man, geez, put me on the spot.
Yes.
What do you mean, like best? Best graphic novel.
Don't be a douche. I've been really liking
Hunter, right?
No, that's not this year.
Okay, 365 Samurai.
Proof. Best graphic novel, yes. 365 Proof. Samurai was amazing. Proof was fantastic. Come back to me.
Punisher Reload. Is that a comic?
Jason check? Aaron on the Punisher has been phenomenal.
Unwritten's been really good. It's one I've been liking.
Yeah. And then, what was favorite craft novel or trade or anything around this one?
I don't know.
Motorboat?
Yep. It's very onomatopoeic.
Yeah. I was a big fan. It was a little bit of a tie for me between Asterios Polyp and Stitches, which both blew my mind. They're amazing. Read them if you haven't picked them up. Yeah.
Also, Incredible Hercules.
Yes.
It's definitely amazing.
Yeah, there's been plenty of fantastic comics this year.
There really has.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Masterpiece Comics by Bob Sikoriak that Drawn and Quarterly did, which is Bob specializes in doing these pastiches of classic literature in comics forms, like he does Dante's Inferno with Mizuki Joe and Scarlet Letter with the Lulu. It's really hilarious.
Yes, which, a little plug, we're actually going to have him kicking off our shows next month.
Oh, great. Sure.
Kick him off.
Greg, what was some of your favorite
It's funny because there's tons of stuff that I love, but I realize that the thing that I probably get the most excited about when I find out there's a new one out is the Trondheim and Svarr dungeon series. I don't know if you guys know that. It's like funny animals who run a dungeon.
How do you run it?
Like a French.
What's that? It makes it sound like they're like, what should we turn this store into? Let's open a dungeon.
But it's awesome. It's like, you know, it's kind of like a little bit of a swords and sorcery kind of spoofy kind of thing.
That's cool.
Definitely this guy who's playing a lot of Dungeons and Dragons in French at once upon a time in his life, probably. But they're originally in French, and these are translated and released by, I forget the name of the company now, but they're a lot of fun.
What are the names again? Sorry.
It's Dungeon. The series is called Dungeon. There's a bunch of different volumes. It's SFAR is, I believe, I can't remember who writes and who draws now. I'm so spacy here. I think Svarr draws it. I mean, writes it, and Trondheim, Trondheim. It's Svarr was the guy who did the Rabbi's Cat.
Great comic.
Yes. Well, so it's got some of that same kind of gentle but loopy humor, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really good take out.
Cool. Obviously, Hulk team up.
Yes, big issue, all team up.
Yeah.
Biggest series.
The comic to Alex.
I would say best new series, Beast of Burden, speaking of fun, like animal kind of stuff. Gravel, I'd say, would be the most solid series of the year. Just every issue was fantastic.
We have our top 20 going on our website.
Starting tomorrow.
Definitely check that out.
Cool. And that's it for the Week in Geek. Yeah. All right. It's time for next week. section, which is trivia, and for that we're going to turn it over to Pete LePay.
Mr. Pete LePay!
All right!
This is the wall, thank you. This is part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 and a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like to win $25? Simply raise your hand. Yes, you, Swab, but maybe I want $25. Come on down.
What's going on with you guys?
Yeah.
All right. So you stand on that side of the table, sir. What is your name?
Justin.
Justin, whoa. Audience? Whoa. Audience Justin.
All right, let's do this.
Alright, here, that gift card could be yours. This is how it's going to work.
Watch out for Trump.
This is how it's going to work. I'll ask you a question, listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3, gift card yours.
No way I'm
going to
go 3 for 3.
You'll be alright, trust me. All right, so today's trivia is on Comic Book Club, since it's our 3-year anniversary.
Oh, this is a treat.
I'd like to learn some of these things.
Thank you, Boothman. Who has not been on Comic Book Club? Is it A, Joe Quesada, B, Seth Meyers, or C, Drew Barrymore? I would go with C.
I gotta guess probably Drew Barrymore.
Correct! That's not true. Okay. Boothman, take it easy. Before Boothman lived in the booth, he was it A, lived on a planet only occupied by cats, B, had the power to destroy comedy, or C, had a codpiece.
Whoa.
Ooh. I would go with C.
Copy,
C. Yes, correct!
It is true.
That's how he hired him. He's wearing that
copy. Comic Club has had different names on the internet. Which name is not correct? Is it A, Pulp Secret, B, The Stack, or C, Alex's Boy Junk?
That is a
website. C is correct. Right. Alex's Boy Junk, $25. Hey man, before you leave, I'm just gonna give you a phone number.
Did you get his phone number?
But on your way out, just see me. I gotta get your phone.
By the back. That's a special gift for you.
Yeah.
Some pretty. Free caddy.
Yeah, free caddy, my man.
Yeah, yeah. Get some free caddy for Pete.
Hey, man, great job with those questions.
All right. I got it. If you're going to be dicks about it, Midtown no. makes me get people's full names, so I got
it. Is that the excuse that you're going to give to people?
If you like a boy, talk to a boy, man. Just do it.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is a new comic book.
Yeah!
I did tell them comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
New Lock and Key.
Yeah.
The new series has just been amazing.
Great choice. I'm looking forward to X Factor number 200. Yeah. See where they're going to take the franchise next.
What's this guy?
I'm looking forward to Angel number 28 because it's the first issue that Bill Willingham's going to be on board. To see what he does with the titles. Fred, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Amazing Spider-Man because that's my new arc with Javier Pulido's beautiful artwork.
Oh, nice.
Featuring the same.
I will say, for the record, that it's awesome.
Oh,
and I actually read it.
Great cover.
So definitely everybody take it.
Yes, by Paulo Rivera.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Actually, if you want to plug in anything else that you have coming.
Tomorrow,
or generally,
it's just that. Next week is Incredible Hercules 139, which is the Assault on New Olympus Part 2 and the first issue of my Halo series, which I'm doing with Francis Portella of MODOK's 11 fame, and it looks gorgeous!
I would read it, but the controls are a little too complicated.
Hi-oh!
It doesn't play.
Think of truck.
I'm looking forward to the new Hulk, which I hear is Samson-tastic.
Yes.
It's Jeff Goldblum.
We gotta wrap it up! We gotta wrap it up!
Let's go!
We gotta wrap it up! You're gonna
train a truck!
A lithium ion battery!
I'm Sinekusen!
Yeah, so I think it's gonna be
great. It's also the it launches. It's the
come on,
the
reaction
before the launch of Fall of the Hulk, so you're gonna want to check it out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And anything else you want to
plug? Well, actually, you know what? This is non-comics related, but I just finished a new short film. When not writing comics, I write and direct movies. If you can call a 15-minute short film a movie, which I feel like
is it
does. It does move.
Then it's a movie.
It's a movie. It's called Mr. Green. It is not at all Hulk related, alas, but it is awesome nonetheless. It'll fairly soon at pockbuzz.com. I'll start to tease some stuff about it. But it was funded by ITVS. They funded a series of shorts that are all dealing with the future in some crazy way, and they're going to debut online in March. But I'll be teasing them fairly soon.
Cool.
Awesome.
Very cool. Awesome. A couple of things before we go. You can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub, where, as we mentioned, we're going to be doing our best of 2009 with some new fancy tricks.
Yeah. You ever heard of a green screen?
Fancy and it's new!
What is
new and fancy?
I've heard of a blue screen, but I don't know how it works, but it's green.
Heard of a blue screen.
It doesn't sound that fancy when you talk about it,
yeah.
So let's stop talking.
Oh, did I? What did you guys expect when he said that?
We are inside out.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting. Guys, this is also our last show of the year. We're going to be back at the beginning of January with all new shows, which is very exciting.
All new show. Yeah. Nothing.
Doing a live read. Wait, how did I do it?
Fred, it's your line. Fred, it's your line right now. Please.
My name is Bob.
Wouldn't that Brett?
We're going to be back with new shows, new children.
I'm not going to be back at least for January because I'm.
But still show up.
Yeah.
It's going to be just
as fun, if not more fun. Also. Just kidding. Also, actually, there's one show where I'm going to be out of town and Pete's going to be hosting.
Oh, yeah! All hell's going to break loose.
We're calling it Pete's Boy Jump right now.
Guys, come if you want to thank Fred.
Yeah!